Tonight, if you have a Bible, turn with us in the 14th chapter of the book of Mark. And if you don't have one, we have some laying around. Just poke somebody in the arm and say, hey man, get me a Bible. We're excited about what the Spirit has been ministering about. And I'm excited about how the Spirit's been moving in this place over the past 3 to 4 months. It's been building up. It's building to something. I don't know what it is yet, but I'm excited about where it's going. He is doing great things here. And I'm so glad to see so many people being willing to yield in worship. Man, that's your breakthrough. That's how you get into the glory. You got to go through those gates. And we're not going to be a place that keeps you pressed down. If you want to praise him, you know what? You're more than welcome to. You're not going to get in my way. And in fact, if you do it enough, it's almost like a cold. If it's on you, it's going to get on me. And if it gets on me, I'll be coughing before you know it. God is good. And he ain't dead. 14th chapter of Mark, we're going to read tonight from verse 3 through to verse 9. And as we typically do on road trips, we're going to make a few stops, but we'll make sure to get back on the road. Let's begin tonight at verse 3. I'm excited. And being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she brake the box and pour it on his head. When you read the word his, we're talking about Christ. And I just want to bring emphasis to a few things as we go through here, because once we get to the end, what I have to preach is very short. But I want you to understand some of the pieces that when we go through this, we may often miss. And this is what God put in my heart to read and to go over. The nard was made from a plant found in the East Indies with a small, slender stalk and a heavy, thick root. And the best perfume at that time was obtained from the root. Most of the time when we buy perfume in the store, we pay $20 or $30. But I'm here to tell you, less than 1% of that perfume is of the rare substance. Most of what you're spraying out, all the additional mist, isn't what makes it precious. There's just a little bit of that substance inside of what you're paying for. And if you really wanted a fragrance that had something that came from rare resources, I don't want to sound too much like a lady tonight, but I know that many of you ladies in here may be familiar with the brand Chanel. And if you're familiar with the brand Chanel, you'll know that Chanel is expensive. And if you will look up the prices on one that's called Number 5, it has some of the most rare ingredients you'll find in perfume. And it's the difference between that and a regular bottle is the difference between $30 and upwards of thousands of dollars. Because when you want to have something that is precious and comes from something rare, you've got to pay for it. So I don't want us to pass by when we read that she took something that was that precious and poured it out on his head. Can we go on? Verse 4. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? When you read indignation, it's sort of like a confusing anger. Sort of that attitude like, well, what'd you do that for? It's short, abrupt, confused. They had this feeling come up within them, and they said, well, why did you waste that? Verse 5, it says, for it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they began to murmur against her or talk about her, sort of like the whispers of gossip. It's sort of like if you fell flat on your face in public and everybody around you could hear a sound around you, but you couldn't hear what they were saying. Chances are they're either laughing at you, making fun of you. That's what murmuring is. So as she was giving up something so precious and pouring it out upon Christ, the people that were Christ's company, think about this, they were the company of Christ. This was people that walked with Jesus in his ministry. And as they sat with him, the company of Christ began to have a short-fused attitude and confusion about what was going on. Have you ever went to offer yourself? How many know where we're going? Have you ever offered yourself before, and instead of hearing the praises resound around you, you begin to hear indignation and murmuring? I'm here to tell you that anytime you're ever sincere, that's what you're going to hear. She wasn't doing this in the presence of people that didn't understand. But she was doing it in the company of Christ. I also don't want us to read over the phrase 300 pence. Let me read something about that to you right now, because I want you to understand the value of the substance. Scholars think that the value of this oil would have been around 300 denarii. And this would have been around that which a well-paid laborer over the course of an entire year would have made. Now, I don't know about you, but if you saved every dime of what you made, would you be willing to pour it out in a moment and give up all that you work for? Chances are some of us would say to that question, I don't know if I could. I've got a mortgage, brother. I've got car payments. I've got food I've got to buy. I've got things I've got to cover. So there's something that has to be seen in this offering unto Jesus. At first, it seems that Jesus' followers had learned his lessons about the poor very well. They complained that the oil was wasted, and when it could have been sold, and the proceeds used to help those that were poor. And this is what God told me. Sometimes what seems like a waste to others is the beginning of opening up the substance of your witness. Is it a waste to testify? Is it a waste to praise the Lord? Do you think it's a waste to keep on trying? When others would tell you to save it for an appropriate time, God will recognize your efforts to honor Jesus. Lord, help me. When Jesus came to the rich man, he told him to sell everything that he had because he was trying to teach them that it wasn't about what you possessed that will get you to the kingdom of heaven. It is not about what you have. So I began to think about that passage and connect it with the fact that this woman probably threw in everything she had to have this substance. And to take that substance and pour it out, there's something powerful there. We come to church all the time, do we not? But I can assure you, we're not coming in and pouring out everything that we have. Because when we consider all the things that we could do with our time, and with our strength, with our energy and efforts and passion, we in the flesh hardly see the value of taking a moment to honor Christ when others would not see the value in it. But I'm here to preach to you something peculiar. There is a reason of importance why you should pour out everything that you have. You want to know the reason number one? Because none of it's going to save you anyway. You could amass all the earnings you could find on heaven and earth, but when it come time for the rapture, what good will your money do you? You can try to amass all the friends in the world that could vouch for you when you get to the kingdom of heaven, but none of them's going to be able to say anything that's going to speak louder than the actions of your life. I do not believe that it would have been as meaningful had she broke open the box, the container, poured a little bit, and held it back. They wouldn't have considered that a waste, right? You see, people will come in and be okay with you coming in and clapping your hands a little bit, shaking hands a little bit, maybe even throw out a shout here and there. Well, I'm telling you, a little bit is not going to get the attention of those who need to see. A little bit is only going to get them to notice that something's happening. But until it becomes something that is foolish to the world, it cannot confound them. I read in the scripture that it says that it takes the foolish things to confound the wise. It did not become foolish to them until the entire substance had been poured out, because they had to ask within themselves, why did they pour out something that would take so long to earn? Why would they waste it on something in a moment, in a time where we're sitting, that seems untimely and unlikely? But I'm here to tell you that when God begins to speak to you, it's going to be in unlikely times. When God begins to minister to you to pour out all that you have, it's going to be in uncommon situations. I'm here to tell you that when God wants to minister to you, he's wanting you to be able to move to pour out all that you have. Look over somebody and say, all that you got. Oh, I feel the power of God. Let's go on. Verse 6 says, and Jesus said, let her alone. Why you trouble her? She hath wrought a good work on me. You read in other translations, and the word good is also translated to say beautiful. Think about that. How could something that someone does to one person be a waste, but another could see it as beautiful? That's because when the pouring out goes for the person that it's meant to, it is a beautiful thing, right? Can I preach to you for a minute? I know that we get so tired of coming in and seeing the same faces and singing the same songs, and We could just about memorize how somebody's going to praise God, and we could just about predict when the highs and the lows are going to be. But you know what I long for? I long for the moments when somebody finally has enough of going through tradition, that they finally stop looking over to the left and to the right. And something inside of them goes from being something that is only noticeable to something that is foolish. Because when you begin to do something foolish for the cause of Christ, even those that are around the cause are going to begin to even question themselves. I'm here to tell you, when you begin to pour out for the cause of Christ, other people are going to ask in themselves, would I be willing to pay the same price? But if you're willing to pour out all that you've got to Jesus, Jesus sees it as a beautiful thing. My Lord and my God, if we'd be willing to pour out all that we have, then He would behold it as good. I read in the scripture of references to people that have complacency. And the Bible refers to that as people that are a stench to God's nostril. I don't find it by coincidence that we see this reference of fragrance where we find God and Christ to be pleased with the effort. When you begin to witness to people and do things that are foolish, you know what you're doing? You're establishing your witness. You're beginning to teach people that something is different about you. When you begin to show them love and kindness and respect, I've seen people literally get confused about what I'm doing when I'll open the door for them and they go through. There was somebody the other day, I just faintly heard the door close, probably about 30 seconds walk away, and I stood there and held the elevator for them, and when they got on, they were in shock. They said, nobody ever waits for anybody anymore. When you begin to show acts of kindness, I'm here to tell you, the world thinks that's foolish. Etiquette's just about out the window these days. Respect and honor are just about out. Somebody help me preach. If you know that, you ought to agree. Respect and honor are falling out of the etiquette and what people have been raised up to know. There are people that walk right by you and don't even care about you. There are people that have no respect for you because you are an elder. There are people that act like you don't know anything. You just thought that was teenagers, but oh, friends, that's everybody. I remember when I thought I used to know everything, but then you learned a few things when you're on your own and you realize you don't know nothing. You don't know a thing. And some of us need to get that in our spirit tonight. We don't know nothing. You might think you've got your finances in order. You might think you've got everything together. You might have a 5-year plan. You might have plans on going somewhere to do something. But unless it lines up with the will of God, I don't see you getting there. Unless God is first in your decisions, I don't see it happening. Because until we're willing to pour out all that we have, then we cannot learn to receive of all He has. So as we begin to pour out and establish our witness, you know what you're doing? You're spraying a fragrance. When you consider the rarity of what makes perfume worth something, you find that it comes from the root, right? If you're saved, blood-bought, and redeemed, then the very root of what makes your witness precious is Jesus Christ. Not your gifts, not your talents, not your benevolence, not any good words that you could say. Jesus Christ is what makes your fragrance, your witness, precious. Without it, we would perish. Do we agree on that? Without it, we would surely not make it. The sins of our past would condemn us, guilt us to death, and the temptations of our future would be too much for us to bear. But by the root of Christ, when we establish ourselves in Him, we begin to show people we're not like the world. He said to be a separate people. Can I stay on the fragrance reference for a minute? You know what He's saying? You need to have a different smell about you. You need to have a different stench about you. When people come into your presence, they need to know that you are totally different than what the world would be. Because if you're going to walk around and linger in the world, I'm here to tell you, you're going to smell like the world. If you go to a dog park where you know they lay all kinds of fun treats and roll around on the ground and expect to smell wonderful, friend, you're being deceived. If you expect to live your life in sin and never giving God a chance to help you, then you're going to smell just like what you, how do they say it, Mom, wallow in. You're going to have a stench about you that you can't hide. You can't escape it. My God, I feel like preaching. You can come in here and pretend to me all that you want to, but when God gets a hold a little bit of the smell of what you've been doing, He knows. So stop trying to hide and prove yourself. You don't have to prove anything to anybody in here. This isn't about them. It's about Him. There are people that claim they witness in the name of Jesus, but only care about what you can give them to come and do the appointment. There are singers that are out there that more than anything want to come and bless your church, but they'll be sure to get there as long as you supply a nominal fee. There are people out there that want to get something for doing something, but what made her act precious is that she didn't ask for anything in return. I'm here to give you a newsflash. I feel like dancing. Your praise that you give is not for you to get something in return. Your hand clapping, your shouting, your dancing is not to get things back in return. You know what you're doing when you honor God and praise Him? You're beginning to show Him that you're willing to be a witness, somebody that He can use. And if He can use you, then that means that you're going to get rid of stuff that would what? Hinder you. Nothing in the kingdom of heaven will have spot or blemish. We know that's true, right? Nothing in the kingdom of heaven can have spot and blemish. So humor me to say that nothing in the kingdom of heaven is going to have sin on it. I used to smoke, unfortunately, 8 years of my life. But thank God, I've quit and I feel good in my lungs. God help me and I praise Him for that. But I'm here to tell you that when I did smoke, there was something that was undeniable if you ever came around me. You definitely knew that I smoked too. And no matter how much cologne that you could try to put on to cover it up, there's something about something that stinks that you just can't cover it up. If you've been cutting on fish after you caught them out on the lake and you try to go to a fancy dinner and you try to eat your food, you'll disgust yourself at the smell of your hands for handling. If you have roadkill on the road, how many of you know where we're going? And you go out there to try to handle that yourself and you don't wash your hands. I wouldn't be going and handling stuff and eating it with your hands. I wouldn't take that time to chew your nails either. I hope you don't scratch and chew, because chances are you're eating stuff you don't even know you want. Are we ready to preach a little bit more? We cannot come in and live any way we want to and just try to spray on the fragrance of God to cover up the fact that we're not changing what God wants to change. Because you come in and you can do all that you know to do, but it's still going to be discernible under the anointing of God. And if there is a church out there that will operate in the anointing, you know what that produces? Conviction. That makes them think to themselves, well, something's up with me. Something's wrong here. If we never operate in the anointing of God, there is no conviction of the Spirit of God. If we want people to be saved, we have to let them be convicted. You can't just tell them they need to be saved. They need to know it within themselves. But until we're willing to do the foolish thing, the overflow, the absolute outpouring of everything that is within us, then we can't see conviction be fluent. Haven't you wondered how that we can have such good services? This is what I've been praying about, brother. I'm really trying to get to the bottom of where we begin to choke in the middle of a service. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You've been in a service, the Spirit of God is moving, and then all of a sudden it's almost like somebody flipped the switch and everybody's either ready to go home or the guy to be quiet and close up his sermon. How many of you have ever been in that kind of service? Well, I've been praying about why is it that we begin to see that choking up of the anointing of God. And what the Spirit spoke to me was, when we close up on the anointing, we are closing up and choking up conviction. And if we're going to only get to the point where we feel good, then we're being selfish about what God has for us to do. Conviction can only come when we give our all. Look over at somebody and tell them, say, we got to learn to give our all. Look over at the other person, tell them the same thing. Say, we've got to learn to give it our all. It may cost you your time, You may get to bed a little later than you want to for work the next day. You may be exhausted. You may be hungry. You may get a little irritable. But I'm here to tell you, until you pour out all that you've got, then you've wasted what was precious. Because he didn't save you to live in sin, did he? He didn't give you the Holy Ghost for you to walk around unlearned. He wants you to know that you're redeemed and that you have wisdom. And we're not to squander that. We're to pour all of it unto others. Because if we continue to only come and serve for ourselves, brother, I don't do that. Think about it for a minute. The Spirit of God begins to move and then you feel good. But nothing in you feels compelled to go to somebody. Nothing in us feels compelled to get somebody else by the hand and say, come on, let's praise the Lord together. He said the evidence of the anointing in you was that you'd love your brethren. The second commandment he gave us was that we'd love our neighbor as ourselves. So unless we can learn to love other people the way that God taught us to and have compassion for them the way that he is showing us, then we're only coming in worried about our stuff. So why was it so important that the rich man had to hear, sell everything you have? Because it's not about the possession that you lose. It's about the profitability that you'll gain when you'll give up what hinders you. The Bible is not a book that tries to tell you about what you cannot do. The Bible is a book that is here to tell you what you can do. It is there that you would be made more than an overcomer. It is there that you would be redeemed and saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. It is there that you can be anointed to do the gifts and callings that God has supplied for you to do. So if you're thinking that the preacher's there to beat you up and tell you all the don'ts in the world, I'm here to tell you that's false doctrine. The Scripture does not tell us to tell people what they cannot do. It teaches us to tell them what they can do. And it says that the Spirit is our teacher to teach us how we should do better. But if we're not pouring out and we're not giving God the chance to pour into us, you know what's happening? We're trying to get by on our own oil. And sometimes you need an oil change. How many of you know that? Your cars can't go too long without an oil change. And if you're going to keep coming to church, not obeying him, not praising him, oh, my Lord, I'm so sad to see people not enjoy themselves. It breaks my heart to see people come in and be so down about things, because God didn't call us to be that way. Even in the worst of times, he said to be faithful. He said we would even wander in our faith, but he said to be faithful and that he would take care of us, right? It breaks my heart to see people not able to enjoy themselves. But if we would have a few of us that would be willing to take all of our oil and pour it out, then Jesus finds that as precious. Because it can only be precious to you, not that you keep it. It's only precious if you're willing to give it. What good does it do me to have a good income unless I learn to bless people? What good does it do me to be able to sing and to preach and enjoy God's word if I'm not willing to share it with somebody? Here's the truth, church. This is going to hurt some people's feelings, but I'm going to tell you right now, we can't handle all the blessings we ask for. And that's why we don't have them. Because if you got every single thing you'd ask for, you'd be so overwhelmed, you wouldn't know if you were coming or going. You wouldn't have enough time to get to church because you'd have so much money that you've been asking for. We'd never find you in the house of God. You'd have so many friends, you'd be everywhere and anywhere but where you should be to honor him. Now, I'm not talking about needs, I'm talking about wants. If you got every single want you ever asked for, I'll tell you what you wouldn't be. You wouldn't be humble. You certainly wouldn't be willing to give up everything that you had either. Can we go on? We're getting to something good. Verse 7. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye, well, ye may do them good, but me ye have not always. When they were campaigning about why she wasted the oil, they said that we could have given that money and sold that and helped the poor. But what he wanted to remind them is, the poor are always going to be around. And his time was limited to them. But let me entertain this thought with you right now. You're going to always have problems. If you're a real person, a real human being, and you believe that, look over at somebody and say, it's true. We're going to have problems. We're always going to have people that don't like us. We're always going to feel rejected. We're always going to look at the mirror and think we should be something more. We're always going to want and feel like we need to improve something. I see people in my subdivision out there laboring over their yard. And I think to myself, Honey, you go right ahead. You go right ahead. I'm good. I've got grass and I've got a little tree. I'm good. I don't need the little glow lights on the driveway. I don't need the big M on the door outside. I don't need these things to prove my happiness. God is teaching me to be content with such as I have. And I'm learning that everything that I'm content with, that God is teaching me that if I needed to give it up in order to let Christ shine in me, that I should be willing to pour it out to Him, because everything that I could keep will not bring me happiness. And everything that you would hoard onto is not going to bless others until you learn, say this word with me, to release your blessing. You've got to learn to turn it loose sometimes. My Lord, if you turned it loose from time to time, then you'd make room for something else. Oh, my Lord and my God, if you turn it loose from time to time, then you'd have something new to do.